What's up, guys? Welcome back to Strength 101, the podcast where we break down fitness and nutrition into its simplest forms so that you can get the results that you want. It's me. It's Nick. I'm back solo again, and I'm ready to drop some more information on you guys. Now, you know that one of the things that we're biggest on here at Strength Academy is how do we grow more muscle over time? I think that's the solution to most people's problems is they want to be a little bit stronger. They want to look a little bit better naked or in clothes, you know, whatever your preference is. But we want to build more muscle over time, and it's really difficult to do that if you're injured all the time. So today I want to go over the three most common injuries that I see in our member base and how we use simple technique changes to fix them. So obviously there's a lot of different injuries that can happen in the gym, and that's just part of your athlete's journey. If you're going to try to attack the gym, put on muscle, become a stronger, more developed version of yourself, eventually you are going to get injured. And a lot of times that's your body's way of telling you you are either doing something incorrectly, you're going too fast, or most of the time, it's just that second one. You're going too fast. You're increasing your weights too fast. You're overstressing the body. You're under recovering in some way. But those injuries tend to show up at a few different places that we see. And usually it's just because of technique issues. And when it's just a technique issue, then you can get out of that injury really quickly and get right back into the gym before it becomes a more complex problem. One thing I want to state right at the beginning, though, is keep in mind that your injury may be unique. So I'm going to describe some common ones, but even if you have the same pain that I describe, your injury could be completely unique. You could have traumatic issues going on in the joint that we're not able to see. I am not a medical doctor. I am not a physical therapist. However, we do see injuries become common across hundreds of people, and we have developed some of these methods to advise our members on what they can do to either change the way they lift or do some rehabilitation on their own at home to come back faster, maybe sometimes without having to see a physical therapist or a doctor. That being said, you should always see your primary care physicians if you have concerns about pain or issues. You know, as coaches, we can only go so far. So let's get into it. First one, shoulder pain. If you've been in the gym for a while, there's no way that you haven't had shoulder pain of some sort. Whether that feels like your shoulder is just like achy, or whether it feels like it's completely shut down and completely weak. There's all kinds of different ways that shoulder pain presents. The one that we are most familiar with seeing is pain that usually comes either, the complaint for most people is, okay, the front of my deltoid. So if you're watching on video, I'm touching the front of my shoulder. The front of my deltoid has pain when I'm pressing. Or sometimes that can present as, oh, the back of my shoulder actually has pain when I'm pressing. And sometimes we even hear people say that they get pain down into their bicep. These all stem from shoulder issues. And if I was going to assign one technique flaw that causes these issues more often than not, it's just the ability to pull the shoulders all the way back when you're doing different pressing movements. So usually these issues present after a bench press or an overhead press day. And the reality is that people are just not in proper positions with their shoulder blades when they're doing this present. When they're doing their pressing exercises. It's important to remember that that pain is typically protective. It wants to keep you safe. And so you were doing something incorrect or overloading it, and the pain isn't the enemy. You don't just take ibuprofen and push through it. You got to try to learn from it. So the first place to look at is whether you're retracting your shoulder blades enough. If you're watching the video version, I'm pulling my shoulders back. I'm puffing up my chest as hard as I can. And whenever we press, we're always trying to create a stable platform off of which to press. And that requires us to pull our shoulder blades back as if we're pinching them, like I'm trying to pinch a pencil between my shoulder blades. And I also need to depress them, which means to pull them down. So that's pulling my shoulders down away from my ears. A lot of people refer to this as trying to tuck your shoulder blades down into your back pockets. If you're on a bench press, this is an extremely important position. The stronger you are, the more important this position is, because as soon as those shoulder blades kind of come loose of the bench, now you're having to stabilize the entire shoulder structure. Whereas if you keep them pinned down and back, then that's one less thing you have to worry about when you're pressing, and it's extremely stable to be able to drive heavy weights away from your body. If your shoulders cannot move around your rib cage, if you can't pull them back and then also round them forward, then your body is going to get extra movement from somewhere. Imagine you're doing a bench press and you can only pull your shoulders back half as much as you normally would, but you're going down to the same depth. Then after you pulled your shoulders back to that full range of motion that it can go to, if you're still going down, then all that movement comes from the humerus, that's your arm bone, moving in the shoulder socket. And those are all small muscles, small structures that aren't designed to take on the full load of a heavy bench press. Our chest and our back muscles are really powerful. Those are what's supposed to be taking on the load of that bench press. And so the first thing that we always look at when somebody has shoulder pain, whether that's because they're pressing and they feel it during the press, or they feel the shoulder pain after they're done pressing, like the next day once they're recovering, we're always going to get them on the bench and see if they can actually pull their shoulder blades back the entire way down. So some people will start going down, they'll open up their chest, they'll pull their shoulder blades back, and then they stop pulling those shoulder blades back, and then they let those elbows crash down deeper, and you can watch at the shoulder that the shoulder itself, the actual arm bone, moves so aggressively in that shoulder socket that it's pressing on different tissues, that it's stressing different tissues, and the chest is no longer helping out. So when you bench press, you want to think to yourself, I am going to try to shorten the distance between the bottom of my shoulder blade and my tailbone as much as possible. And that's what's going to create that lower back arch. And most people do this, but they don't do it nearly as hard as they think they can. I was just working with a member yesterday on this, and she got into good positions. If I just looked from across the room, then I would think her positions were good. But then I tested her on it and asked her if she could go tighter, if she could pull her shoulders back harder. And there was so much more to it that she could do. And all of a sudden her shoulder pain went away when she was pressing. And so everybody's going to be a little bit different. Everybody's going to require a different amount of mobility. But when you bench press, you always have to be thinking, can I puff my chest up to the ceiling as hard as possible? So we call it the baddest dude at the bar. You got to walk around like you're that dude that thinks he's the baddest guy in the bar. He's puffing up his chest. He's trying to get all the girls. We also say, pull your chest through like you're Superman, chest to the ceiling, shorten the distance between the shoulder blades and the tailbone. Any of these will work for you. Try out different ones and see which one really does it to you best. But you have to maintain that puffed up chest when you're pressing. And once you start rowing back as you're going down nice and slow and controlled in your bench press, you have to think, can I actually pull my shoulders back the entire time that I'm going down? And if you feel those shoulder blades stop moving, then that's probably bottom depth for you. And anything below that is going to cause undue stress on the shoulder. So if this happens to you, that's the first thing I'm going to ask you to check. Same thing on an overhead press. Can I keep my chest tall towards the ceiling and pull my shoulders back as hard as possible so that I'm stabilizing my shoulders from the rear when I go and press the weight overhead? If you have pain in your shoulder, all you're going to do if it's a technique flaw like this is lighten up the weight a little bit. Feel the difference in your ability to pull those shoulders back, because most of the time range of motion suffers when we get up to our heaviest weights. So you might need to dial it back. Feel the difference in how much you can open up that chest, and then practice that new technique with some lighter weights at first. And then this is the key. You have to slowly ramp back up to what you could do before. And now that you've fixed your technique, not only are you going to take the stress off your shoulders, but you're also going to be training your pecs more effectively, which means bigger, stronger pecs, which is, I know, what's one of my goals. Hopefully it's one of yours. So that's for shoulders. And I would say 90% of the time when somebody presents with shoulder pain, we look at their technique and we're able to fix something like that. We have a freaking stud of a woman in here who is a complete beast, and she's like 5'11", super athletic. And we found that a lot of her shoulder pain was coming not from her inability to do this on a bench press or an overhead press, but she simply was just doing her push-ups wrong and wasn't pulling her shoulders back, and it caused her a ton of havoc. So check yourself on that stuff before you wreck yourself. Number two, lower back pain. Oh man, if you've been in the gym, you've definitely experienced at least lower back soreness, if not lower back pain, but especially after heavy deadlifts and heavy squats. So it's not uncommon, especially with newer people, they come in after a heavy deadlift, heavy squat day, and they say, oh, my lower back hurts. Sometimes this presents as pain and soreness across the entirety of the lower back, across the tailbone even, kind of across the bony structures. It can tighten up muscles around the hips. And sometimes this can get so bad that it tightens up muscles and it pinches nerves and sends nerve pain all the way down your leg. That's the sciatic. And that's when people walk in, they're like, I think I screwed up something in my back. I'm getting shut down. And often we just need a technical change and we need to recover. And we need to make sure that you're using the right muscles when you're doing these exercises. A lot of times when you get this type of pain and restriction, it can restrict your mobility, and you may even make you feel weak and give you difficulty walking. And so that's why we always have to be so careful with the lower back. The first thing to do is to check yourself on these squats and deadlifts and ask yourself, am I bracing my core properly? I know that gets thrown around a lot. Everybody's like, use your core, you know, flex your abs, whatever. Like trainers say it all the time. I rarely see trainers actually teach how to do this. So let me take you through this real quick, how we teach it. If I'm going to brace my core properly during heavy squats and deadlifts, I'm trying to limit lumbar movement. Lumbar is the very lower back, right? So I'm trying to limit that. And the thing that does that is my abs. My abs and my glutes work together to lock that lower back into a fixed position. So when we go down into a heavy squat or deadlift, a lot of people don't lock that in. And then there's all this unstable movement through the lower back. And those are small structures, all this unstable movement that happens as they go down. They may not even notice it. And then when they recover afterwards, there was so much stress on these muscles that are made to just stay in place instead of move that everything gets locked up and you start to be in pain. So the first thing that you want to check is whether you're bracing your core properly. And here's how we test this. We like to teach you to take a big deep breath and then pull your ribs down. As I exhaled there, I pulled my ribs down towards my hips. And so if you just think about drawing it down, that's going to lock you into place. So we're not crunching over and flexing our abs. We're not sucking in our belly button to try to get core tension. I'm trying to lock my ribs to my hips. So I'm going to take a big deep breath. And as I draw that rib cage down, that's going to be locking my ribs to my hips to make sure my lower back doesn't move no matter how heavy a load I get on it. Another way to say this is if I came up and I was going to punch you as hard as I can in the stomach, what would you do? And people will often, like, if somebody was actually going to come and punch you as hard as they can, just the reaction that you would have, that flexing up to try to protect your internal organs, that's bracing your core. Another way to do it is to simply cough. Just put your hand on your abs right now and do that with me. And you can feel that bracing. And so if you're new at this and that's the only way you feel it, you might go right before a deadlift and just give it a little, you know, quick little check. Don't get the COVID alert sent on you, but you can brace that core and then you're going to be much safer on those deadlifts. What's some other ways we think about it? Let's see here. Can punch you as hard as possible. Oh, another cue that's phenomenal. And we just had a strongman coach come in and he re-emphasized to our people doing the barbell deadlift is to act like you're squeezing your butt cheeks together as hard as you can before you slowly hinge back. And so once I have locked my abs in, I have squeezed my butt cheeks together so that I know that my lower back is not going to move. Then if I start into a hinge movement, then that's when I'm going to realize whether I actually have mobility issues in like my legs or in other places, because I'm going to feel the stretching differently. Some of you might be able to, if I said just hinge back normally right now, you might push your hips back and it might feel totally normal. Then if I said, hey, lock your ribs to your hips, do that cough and squeeze your butt cheeks as hard as possible and now hinge back, you might have zero movement. And what that means is that you've been getting all your hinge movement from moving your lower back instead of stretching like you should through your hamstrings and your glutes. And that also means that if you go down into a deep squat and all your movement was through your lower back, your glutes and your hamstrings are not stretched and ready to get out of the hole and help you. So you're not even using the proper muscles. You're not using your biggest, strongest muscles to do this. And so it's very important that we relearn how to do this. So once again, if you're going to fix this, you need to lighten the weight up. And you need to focus really heavily on pulling those ribs down and lock them to your hips. Big deep breath, draw the ribs down. Cough if you need to. Have somebody come up and punch you in the stomach lightly if you need to. Be intentional and controlled. Feel your hips and abs doing the work. If you need to do a little extra glute mobility, pigeon stretch, figure four stretch, you need to do some 90-90 work, do that type of stuff to free up those leg muscles. But when you hinge back, you should be stretching through your butt and your hamstrings, not just arching your lower back. And I'll tell you right now, if you standing here listening to this, if I told you to push your hips back towards the wall behind you, you push your hips back and all of a sudden you're arched through your lower back and your belly button's dumped to the floor, then you definitely have a problem with this. And even if you don't have pain yet, you are setting yourself up for a disaster once you get stronger. So take it back, take a little bit lighter, practice that technique, control those abs, feel the stretch in your glutes as you go into that hinge on both a squat and a deadlift. And I guarantee you're going to come back stronger and more pain-free after you've fixed it. Number three is knee pain. This is so common. All the time people have knee pain. And I'm talking about knee pain, especially after doing something like lunges, squats, or plyometrics. Now, knee pain can come from a lot of different things. Like some people legitimately have knee damage that they have to take care of. But I'm talking about people who don't have any type of knee injury that we're aware of, but then they just develop knee pain from their lifting. This could present as a pulling sensation. Some people talk about feeling like their kneecap's getting pulled up on their knee and they feel pain there. There could be pain when you're bending your knee. There could be pain just on impact. Let's say I'm like jumping up and down off of one stair, and I only when I hit the ground with that much force do I feel my knee flare up. But with the knees, one thing you have to do is you always have to look at the joint above and the joint below. So this is shout out to, I believe his name's, is it Gary or Gray? I don't know. Is Cook. Cook is the last name. I'll have to look up the book. Maybe we'll put in the show notes. But there is a guy who describes the alternating need for stability and mobility in the body. And so your foot needs to be able to be extremely stable in the ground. Your ankle needs to be able to be very mobile, meaning just like the bottom of a tripod stool. You know how they have those little wobbly, circly things on all the desks at school? That's what your ankle needs to act like. And then you go up the chain, and the knee needs to be stable, and then the hip needs to be extremely mobile, and the lower back needs to be stable, and the upper back needs to be mobile. And it just goes through the chain like this. And that's how your body was set up. It's like some joints need more stability, some joints need more mobility. The knee is something that needs stability. And so what happens most often is if you look at the joint below or the joint above when you have knee pain, usually we find that range of motion has suffered either in the hip or the ankle. And as you can imagine, just like we talked about with the shoulder, if your hip is not moving properly and your glutes don't stretch out and you go down into a squat, like what's going to happen? Like your knee's going to have to twist because you're not getting the rotation through your hips. If your ankles don't move forward and backwards properly and you go into a lunge, well, what's going to happen? Like instead of your knee going forward the entire way it should and moving through the ankle, you're going to put a bunch of stress and rotation on that knee. When that knee is just a hinge joint, it just wants to go forward and back and be a happy little knee. When you start twisting on it and you start putting all these other forces on it that the knee and the, or sorry, that the hip and the ankle should do, that's when it gets aggravated. And so we're looking above and below. So that can stem from tight ankles, it can stem from tight hips, or it could be both. And here's how you fix it. I want you to use a combination of two cues. We're always movement-based. So let's go back to the movements we were talking about. Lunges, squats, plyometrics. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to borrow from what we just talked about with lower back. I'm going to brace my core. I'm going to lock my ribs to my hips so that I know I'm not getting any excess movement from my lower back that could be compromising my hip mobility. Once I've done that, let's just imagine you're doing a goblet squat. I've got a weight in front of me underneath my chin. I'm going to go down into a squat. I'm going to brace my core. And then I'm going to feel my feet completely locked into the ground. And this is where people get screwed up. There's a lot of people out there that squat and deadlift, and they don't realize that they have mobility problems that they're not observing because they let their feet dance all over the place when they're doing this. So I could go down into a squat, and I could be pitching onto the sides of my foot or pitching into my toes or pitching into my heels. My feet could be going anywhere until I pay attention to them and I actually lock them into the ground and I feel an even amount of pressure between the ball of my foot and the heel of my foot. That's the only way for me to realize whether I have a movement issue. So if I brace my core, I lock my feet into the ground, and then I slowly start to descend in a squat, all of a sudden I'm going to get a bunch of feedback and signals as to what's actually tight. If I'm doing that and I'm not letting the feet come off the ground, I'm not letting my core go, well, all of a sudden I might feel, oh my God, I have this restriction in my right ankle. I didn't even realize it before because every time I got to it, I just moved my foot off to the side to get around it. Or I might realize, oh man, now that I'm doing this, my knee feels like it's like legitimately stretching out. That's weird. I've never had that sensation before because I've always found a way to cheat out of it. Or you might be doing it and realize that just like with the lower back pain, that your hips are just tight as hell. Like if you have lower back pain, and you have knee pain, what's the common denominator there? It's likely that your hips are crazy tight and you never taught yourself to really stretch through your glutes when doing these heavy movements. So those are the two things. I'm going to brace my core, I'm going to lock my feet into the ground, and then I'm going to go slow and controlled on the way down on a squat, and it's going to tell me what my limiting factor is, whether that's an ankle, whether that's a knee that needs to be strengthened and tolerance built on it, or it's a hip that needs to be stretched out and learn how to move properly. You have to trust what you can feel when you do this. Is it the ankle inhibiting you? Is it the hips? And then you can go address it and come back. But often you can fix this just by practicing really slow squatting or really slow deadlifting if you're focused on the core and the feet. If the ankle is the problem, then we're always just thinking strengthen and then stretch. So that means I would do a bunch of calf raises. I would do a bunch of maybe like light plyometrics, whatever doesn't aggravate me. And then I would stretch. So I'm making sure that my ankle is strong, but also that I can use that strength at length. Same thing with the hips. I might do a bunch of things like bird dogs and fire hydrants and some glute bridges and stuff like that and get them really nice and warmed up. But then I'm going to do my pigeon pose. I'm going to do my figure four stretch. I'm going to start to stretch those glutes so that I don't just have access to them at a shortened position, I have access to them at a lengthened position as well. And so hopefully this gave you guys some context as how to address your pain. If it's shoulder pain, most of the time we have a retraction issue. We're not pulling our shoulders back. We're not puffing up our chest enough on our pressing exercises. If it's hip slash lower back pain, then especially after squats and deadlifts, most of the time we're not bracing our core properly. Lock the ribs to the hips and see if you can't get yourself to stretch out through your glutes and your hamstrings. If it's knee pain, then you want to check out what's going on at the ankle, what's going on at the hip, and address that first. But if you can start to utilize these tools to explore where you have these cheats in your body, you can solve a lot of your own problems without having to go to the doctor. Because not to crap on MDs, but I'll tell you that MDs are not interested in your weightlifting problems. And so if you have pain, they're more likely to throw a painkiller at you or refer you to a physical therapist than actually to give you a solution to your problem. So you need to become a walking, thinking weightlifter who can solve their own problems. And then if something is outside of your scope of ability to fix, then you go talk to a physical therapist or a coach or somebody who has a higher base of knowledge than you. But take these tools, use them on yourself, because just because you have a little injury, that doesn't mean that you can't keep lifting, bring yourself back, and come back stronger than ever. If you have any questions over these things, if you're having an issue that you have been dealing with for a long time and you want some advice on it, message us on the Instagram. You can find us at Strength Academy RF on Instagram, at Strength Academy 101 on almost every other platform. This was Strength 101. Peace out.